This is our last week discussing the family portion of discipline. I have two slides. Hopefully that will mean that we will be done early, which will give us the opportunity to ask questions or just leave, however you choose. I'm sorry? Yes, if you have a question in either now or during the Q&A time, please raise your hand so that we can get a microphone to you so that we can all share in the question as well as the answer. Okay, back to strategies for effective discipline. I'm going to real quick touch on, we were talking with last week, drawing the battle lines. Remember, we talked about the individual discipline methods. We're working our way back to the overarching principles behind discipline. Last week we talked about how do you decide what to discipline for, drawing the battle lines, figuring out what the boundaries are, agreeing on them together so that you both have the same basis, and then how do you respond when something happens that you didn't think of? Well, you deal with it, and then you discuss it. Figure out what it is that you're going to do the next time. Now, the overarching principles of discipline. Number one principle, and we pound this into our children, not physically, but we pound this into our children. Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Okay. Mommy and daddy are. Or if we go out, who's in charge? Stephanie is. Or whoever's watching the children. Okay? It is critically important for the children to know who's the boss. Critically important. Children want to be in charge. They also want to have boundaries and rules. They also want to control things. It's a weird situation. It's the sinful nature combating with the word of the Lord written on their hearts. That is, they want boundaries. They want rules. They understand the natural order of things. They want that to be the way that things are. At the same time, they are sinful beings who have this behavior of sin in their lives. Number one foundational principle, defiance is unacceptable. You, as a parent, will know that you are going to face defiance. You face defiance from day one. Okay, not day one. Because day one, they're just screaming and it's acceptable. It's not defiance yet. You're right. It's about 6 months or so. You will hit it earlier, but you probably won't recognize it yet. Because they reach a point, they reach a transition point where selfishness, which is natural and acceptable for an infant, because an infant's world is no bigger than the infant. Everything for an infant is me. Me, 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 me. So everything that the infant does is based on conditioned response, right? Something's not right, I cry. And then the parent says, okay, child is crying, let's do an analysis. Is the child clean? Yeah, unfortunately the child's clean. Is the child fed? Yes, the child's fed. Okay, what's left? The child's tired, put the child to bed, right? Eat, sleep, and fill diapers are the three primary roles of an infant. And they do two of them well. Sleeping is not the one of the two. Okay? And you can train your child, start the discipline process that early. That is, how many parents say, my child won't sleep through the night? Your child will sleep through the night. It's not that hard. All you have to do is train yourself that it's okay for your child to cry.
That's hard.
If your child is fed, and your child is clean, and your child is crying, most likely, I'm not saying it's 100%, most likely, your child needs to sleep. And many times, the only way that your child will go to sleep is if you ignore the fact that they are crying. Because they are tired. They are getting exercise and they are making themselves more tired. And eventually they will fall asleep. The fascinating thing is, children are brilliant. And children learn very, very quickly. If you let your child cry him or herself to sleep, one or maybe two nights in a row, without coming in to check on them when they cry, your child will sleep through the night. Now, admittedly, there are medical conditions, such as colic, which will cause your child to continue to cry and not sleep through the night. And those things should be checked out. And there are some treatments now for some of those conditions. But don't encourage the colic and or the behavior by responding every time your child cries. You begin around 5 or 6 months to start seeing this defiant behavior. The child begins to recognize that there is something outside of themselves, and that something can be controlled or manipulated. And that something is trying to control or manipulate them, and they don't like it. So they start to go, eh, when you tell them to lie flat to have their diaper changed. Or they start to throw things, like food. Grab food, throw it on the floor. Okay? Uh-oh. We've all seen it, right? Or throwing food deliberately. That is defiance. That is the thing that Dobson says is spankworthy. Okay? Because that is the core behavior that you must modify in order to get a child to obey. The child needs to learn that you are in charge. Now, there's two views of how you should approach child rearing. They're up on the board. Now, the first view is the one that I subscribe to personally. Fear, respect, love, desire. Fear. You start with fear. Now that sounds just horrible, which is why the other view exists. Okay? But if you think about Scripture, what is your relationship supposed to be to God? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Does that mean terror? No. It means a recognition of the awesomeness, the power, the control of God, and your relationship with respect to Him. Now, I am not suggesting that parents are awesome and powerful, but in relationship to a child, they are and should be. The first thing that a child needs to learn is where they stand in relationship to you. They need to learn that you are in charge, that you control the weather by saying you're either inside or outside. That you control food. That you control pain. Okay? You are in control. They fear you, but that fear very quickly converts to respect. of you and who you are. And you control that conversion by teaching, by discipline. Okay? Discipline, training changes this power. When you discover that God is in control of all things, that God is awesome, that God controls the universe, you are afraid. You fear God. When you discover that He loves you and that He is teaching you things and that He is working things together for your good, you now respect and start to love God. You convert the child from respect, and respect typically age-wise is like 5 to 9 or so. That's about the age range at which the primary driving factor in a child's obedience is respect. Under age 5, the primary driving factor in a child's obedience is typically fear. Right? They will do what you want them to do because they are afraid of the consequences of that behavior. In ages 5-ish to 9-ish, the child will obey you on the basis of the fact that they understand the consequences. They're not really worried about the consequences anymore. They are obeying you because they respect your authority. You have taught them the way to behave. They are respecting your authority. From 9-ish to, varying upon the defiance level of the child's behavior will be controlled by their love of you. Okay? They convert from just respect to, I am doing this because I love my parents. I do what they want me to. Not because I'm afraid they're going to spank me. Not because I know that their general authority exceeds mine and therefore I respect them. But because I want to please them. Compliant children convert into that at age 6 or 7, hopefully. And stay in that, hopefully, until age 15 or 16. Strong-willed children convert into that at age 13 and convert out at about 13 and a half. Okay? Some people don't ever see and or recognize this phase because it happens so quickly. Okay? But the eventual goal that you are trying to achieve is the desire phase. That is, the child does and believes what is right because they have internalized that behavior and they want to do what is right. That's the goal. The goal is to get the child to internalize what it is that you want them to learn, the behaviors that they want to learn, what is socially acceptable, and a love of Christ, a love of God, because it is a personal thing for them. That's the behavior pattern that I subscribe to. That's the behavior pattern that I strive for. The world's perspective is you start with friendship. Right? You want your child to be your friend. The rest of that I wrote because that's what happens. If you want your child to be your friend, you give in to them. They don't fear you. They don't respect you. You give in to them. They're in control. Therefore, they will be defiant. They will be defiant and they will continue in defiance and their behavior will be ruled by defiance because you are not controlling them and they're not afraid of you and they don't respect you. If you start with friendship of your goal, you want your child to like you, you will create in your child continued defiance. That continued defiance will produce the result that your child is in control. Your child will run the house. And you guys have all seen families where children run the house. They know exactly what to say and what to do to get the desired response from their parents. And their parents spend all their time trying to placate the child. whatever the behavior is that sets the parent off, that the parent can't stand, the child can turn on and off like a light switch. Screaming fit, throwing themselves on the ground, crying, whatever it is that is the parent's hot button, they can do it like that. And the parent, as soon as that behavior starts, knows that they had better do whatever the child says, because if they don't do what the child says, the behavior that they can't stand will continue endlessly. The child is now in control. And the last step in that pattern is escape. That escape can take many forms. That escape can be escape into drugs, alcohol, a gang, prison, or just pure departure. I'm gone. I don't ever want to have anything to do with you again. Okay? The end result, the natural end result of your trying to be your child's friend primarily, and that being your objection or objective, is that you produce exactly the opposite result. The natural result of your not starting out with that as your goal, you're starting out with discipline as your goal, it's typically that your child ends up being your friend. Because you respect someone and you love someone and you choose the behavior pattern that they have chosen for you out of your desire, you have internalized that. That person is a person that you want to be around. I like being around my father. I know Dave likes being around his father. I like being around Dave's father. Okay? You build a relationship with someone, you change your behavior based upon respect and love for that person and that person's what is important to that person. You become closer to that person, and eventually you build a relationship out of love and out of a mutual desire, a common goal. Yes?
I just want to clarify, you're not saying that when your father was holding you to these disciplines, when you're saying we don't want to start out trying to be their friend and get you to like them, but get them to like you, as you were growing up, you as a result of the respect and the discipline he gave you, you did like him. You may have been upset with him at times, and there may have been times that you wanted your own way, but you didn't dislike your father as you were growing. You just understood that he was the adult and you were the child. And too many people think that children are little adults running around, and they're not.
I can honestly say there were times in my life when I hated my father. My love period was very short. We talk about that 13 to 13 and a half. Okay. Now, I like to think that it continues even today. Okay. But the transitional period from respect through love to desire was a very short transitional period for me. Okay? I was afraid of my father. And those of you who know my father know why I was afraid of my father. My father was quite capable of enforcing his will. And I respected that. And I towed the line out of that respect, usually. But I also, quite frequently, tried to assert my own control. And went off my own way and disobeyed my parents and had great cause for discipline. And I did not like being disciplined. And I was disciplined very thoroughly. I like to think eventually very effectively. Okay? But when that occurred, the thought that is running through my mind as I am being disciplined is not, oh, thank you. I respect you and love you for doing this to me. Okay? If that is your goal as a parent, is to achieve that mental reaction in your child in the act of discipline, too bad. It's not going to occur. That is an eventual goal. That is not the instantaneous reaction, because we are sinful. In the same sense that when God sends a severe trial into your life in order to change your behavior, in order to train you, in order to discipline you for your own good, you are not happy. God drastically changed my life when I lost my job. Many of you know this. Looking back on that moment in my life, that was one of the greatest things that had ever happened to me or for me. And the eventual outcome of that to being where I am today is delightful to me. And I don't know what the future holds for me, but I am thrilled with where He has brought me through that experience. But at that moment, I was in tears and broken and angry and frustrated. And my instinctive reaction was, why, God, why have you done this? Things were okay. I was dealing with the situation that I was in. This can't be right. Your children, when you discipline them, will not thank you for it then. But you are doing it for their good. You must be in control, yes. Sorry. Here comes the microphone.
Regarding the friendship defines control and escape, I was thinking these days the teen suicide has really risen. That's a way out, too.
Death is an escape. And it is being chosen by many, absolutely. Okay. The escape could take dozens of forms, none of them good. Yeah. Suicide is ultimately an attempt by the person to hurt other people. It's not an attempt to hurt themselves. People who commit suicide do so because of the harm that they believe it will cause to others. Won't they be crushed by my doing this? They're not thinking about themselves. They are thinking about hurting others. Okay. Control is not just for the child, it is for yourself. Towing the line between discipline and abuse is a challenge. Because the world has no foundation upon which to base discipline, they have no way to toe the line between discipline and abuse. And therefore, they do one of two things. They abuse the child, or they run away from discipline. That is why the world is so wrapped up in the idea that any form of physical discipline is child abuse. Because they can't see any reason to control it. They can't see any basis for that control. They can't see any foundation upon which to rest. And the whole theory of postmodernism, that is, everything is relative to you. Every person lives in their own world, and what is right for one isn't necessarily right for another, translates to, there is no standard of right and wrong, translates to, you have no basis on which to discipline your child, translates to, you can't discipline your child. We have a completely different foundation, and we started this whole series talking about that foundation of self-discipline, and that foundation of self-discipline being based upon God, and your relationship with him, and that being the only basis for self-discipline, and the behaviors that are expected of you in self-discipline, that must be a foundation for your family discipline. And the relationship that you have with your spouse, and that relationship needing to be right in order to have a foundation for discipline, all of those things need to line up for you to have discipline in your family. Okay? You need to be in control of yourself. It is hard to do, and it may be much harder than controlling the behavior of your child. Yes?
Wouldn't you say that the godly parent needs to be aware of the persecution that you will receive from the world because of your stance? Just like your stance for Christ, but this is a big one, because the world is going to perceive you as being too hard on your children, and they're going to start looking for places that they want you to slip up, and they want to be able to say, see, I told you that was abuse, or you're too strict, or I can't believe that you don't, you know, care whether they're happy or, I don't know, whatever it is, but they don't get it.
That's, and society is being changed, okay, deliberately. Society is being changed. You hear people talk on the radio about back in the old days, you know, you go to Walmart and you could see 3 or 4 beatings a day, right? And if I stepped out of line and my parents weren't around, the next door neighbor had no problem beating me for it because it was acceptable. Okay? That kind of concept, the whole concept that corporal punishment was okay, that discipline was okay, is being deliberately driven out of our society. Intentionally. And now, many parents are afraid to discipline their children in public because they are afraid that there are consequences. Afraid that it is illegal. It is not illegal to discipline your child, even to corporally punish your child in public. I would recommend strongly that if you should choose to do so, if it should become necessary to do so, that you do so in complete control. Okay? Do not be the person who is videotaped and on the 6 o'clock evening news screaming at and spanking their child. Because, as I said, it is very easy to cross the line between discipline and abuse. And the world is quite easily able to recognize anything as abuse. Okay, you've all seen the videos. Society is being driven through the use of that type of media to believe that any form of corporal punishment is abuse. Because, see, look here. Here's video of a child being corporally punished and he's being abused. The mother is obviously out of control. The mother is obviously screaming at the child and whacking the child, and oh, by the way, it's a 6-month-old baby. Okay? And look, this mother drowned her children because she was out of control and she couldn't cope with it. And guess what? She spanks. Okay? Yes?
I also think that when it comes to disciplining the child in public, like you, for example, if you're going to a store or a restaurant, you have to be prepared ahead of time. Like Dave and I, we have certain things that we do. It's either we leave the store or the restaurant, we take them out to the truck. So if those of you see us leave a restaurant and take our kid to the truck, you know what's going on now. But so we either know we take them out to the vehicle, we shut the door, we discipline them there, or, for example, we may take them to a restroom. And, you know, obviously you do have to be careful and usually talk to them first and maintain control. And there are times when I've had to leave a restroom and someone's out there washing their hands, and I'll say, you know, I'm sorry you had to hear that, but, you know, my child needed to be disciplined.
Right.
And more often than not, I've had people say to me, I am so glad to see there are still parents that discipline their children. Because whether society will admit it or not, they still want it. It's just, I think the sound of hearing that child scream and cry is what makes them wonder, does this borderline abuse sometimes? You know what I mean? Like in the mind of the person hearing it. They go, oh, my gosh, that child's screaming and crying. I feel so bad. Well, don't feel bad. I have to live
training,
with them.
The training that society is going through that corporal punishment is unacceptable is being very, very effective. Mm-hmm. Right? You used to be paddled by your principal in school.
Right.
Public school or your teacher. Mm-hmm. Public school on the spot. Not anymore. Christian schools don't do it anymore. When some do. When my wife was teaching Christian school, you had to sign an agreement that you accepted that that was an acceptable form of discipline before your child could go to the school. Yes, John.
One factor in that issue is that any school that does have that, there's always another teacher in the room when the punishment is being administered.
Lots and lots of guidelines and precautions taken.
And documentation.
And documentation of the reasoning. Yes.
I said they are expelling kids now for some certain things.
Mm-hmm. Give them a time out of school is now the replacement for that behavior. Okay? Although I was never ever suspended or expelled. I got detentions. I was never suspended or expelled. I always thought that that would be a great thing to be suspended or expelled if it weren't for the fact that if it happened, I would be disciplined. So if you're not going to be disciplined, what's to stop you from wanting to be expelled? And because they can't enact discipline, they now have to be extreme with what is a disciplinable offense, okay? If your child draws a picture of a gun, your child is expelled. We have a zero tolerance policy. Zero tolerance means you can't even suggest that you might be thinking of anything that might be a dangerous behavior. If your child says, I'm going to kill you, okay, not recommending that your child should do that, by the way. But your child can be expelled for doing that. Yes?
I just wanted to add to the list of precautions that they take at the schools. I know at least at the Christian school that I taught at, the men spanked the boys and the women spanked the girls. So there couldn't even be any suggestion of, first of all, men being too strong to spank girls or anything sexual. So precautions there, too. They actually asked me if I would be willing to do it because the woman that normally did it was just kind of getting older and not really feeling up to it anymore. But I didn't have any kids, so the idea of spanking a teenager just kind of was not me. But.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Adjust my volume when I get this thing.
Okay.
I was thinking about when we talk about spanking our children and disciplining them, that I think the real concept is that the discipline cannot be degrading to the child.
Mm-hmm.
And what gets the attention of people in public is when the discipline degrades the child, which is one thing that Dobson always mentions too. So when we spank one of our children, we don't do it in front of the others because that's degrading to be spanked in front of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pinching their, pulling their hair to grab their attention real fast or a slap across the face, some of those things really are degrading to human beings in general. And so if you discipline but it's not degrading, then you're going to eventually establish that respect and love. But if your discipline is degrading, your child will become defiant. And
Your goal is absolutely not to humiliate the child.
Right, right.
Absolutely not.
And so especially when you're in public, if you keep that in mind, is my discipline degrading my child? Because if it is, then yeah, it is abusive.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't degrade the child, then it serves its purpose.
By the way, I want to go on record as strongly agreeing with you. We do not spank our children in public. But our children know that if we say to them, if you don't stop this, we are going to go outside. They know exactly what I mean by that. Okay? Or when we get home, there will be a consequence. They know exactly what I mean by that. Remember, you love this child. It's a hard thing to remember at times. Pray. Okay? you need to pray. Pray about your discipline. Pray for your child. Pray. One quick comment. What do you do when you make a mistake? Okay. Should you ever apologize to your child? Yes. Absolutely. Definitely. If you don't apologize to your child when you make a mistake, your child will never apologize to anyone else when they make a mistake. Because you are modeling that behavior too. I have disciplined my children and then immediately been told by someone else, oh, by the way, I said they could do that. And there are problems with that because guess what? You're not always on the same page, right? If I say you are going to stay in bed until I tell you to get up, and another grown-up comes along and says you can get up now, is the child disobeying me if they get up? Well, yeah, kind of. But there's mitigating circumstances. So, yes, in that case, you can certainly apologize to your child. You can't necessarily take back the spanking. And I don't recommend that you bend over and let them spank you as payback. Okay? But there might be a consequence. You might need to figure out some recompense to the child for your misunderstanding. One of the hardest things for us to deal with is trust and truthfulness with our children. Very hard. And one of the reasons for that is we have children who have a problem with truthfulness. Therefore, trust is hard. There are times when I have accused a child of lying and disciplined that child for lying, and then found out that I was wrong. Okay. I need to be disciplined. I also have to explain to them that the reason that I accused them of lying is because I don't trust them. And I can't trust them because they haven't been trustworthy in the past. But you need to accept that there are consequences. Part of that consequence is that you have broken the trust with your child. And it makes discipline harder. Okay? There are things that your child can do to break your trust. Unjust consequences break your child's trust. And you probably can all remember at least once in your life when you were disciplined and you didn't deserve it. When you were punished for something that you didn't do. And think about the impact that had on you. You remember even to this day the fact that that happened. My daughter's ready to point out many times when that's happened to her.
I remember there's always a section in Clubhouse called Ask, where they ask questions, where people send in questions and stuff. And one of the questions was, this boy had a little brother, and his little brother would do things to get him and would leave things out, and the older brother would get accused of it and end up being punished, and when his dad found out, eventually he'd already been punished.
Mm-hmm. It will happen, beyond the shadow of a doubt. You will punish a child for something they didn't do. You can apologize, but you have broken the trust, and that makes your job harder. It's not unrecoverable. Try to make sure that it doesn't happen that often. Now, I'm officially done with family discipline, and I'm officially well over time. So I'm going to offer folks the opportunity to stand up and walk away, no consequences. But I know that there are some people who have questions, and so I'm going to open up the floor for questions if you have somewhere to be, feel free. I will not be offended at all if you walk away. Yes.
Actually, I just wanted to, the idea of apologizing, one of the greatest impacts on my life was when I was growing up, I did plenty of things that I had to be disciplined for, and some of which my dad was ready to string me up a tree. He would get so frustrated with me that it gives just his facial features alone were enough to scare me. And I remember him being really, really angry at one time with me for something I had done. And I remember thinking wholeheartedly, boy, I deserve to get just beat. And he was so angry that he gave me a verbal lash and he left. I'm sitting in my room, sitting on my bed, and about 5 minutes later he came back in and apologized for being angry with me. And he said, I had no right to be that angry with you. I apologize for yelling at you. Please forgive me. However, for what you have done, you will have to do this. You will get that. And I'll never forget that, because when he left, I actually felt worse than I did after the verbal lashing. Mm-hmm. Because he apologized for doing something, even though I believed in my mind he had full right to act the way he did. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I've had that same experience with my son, where I was ready to just throw him. And I ended up going back to him and saying, I'm sorry I was so angry. Please forgive me for being angry. I have no right to be that way. However, this is what we're going to do. And I think that that's had a big impact on our kids' lives too, that the idea that the behavior is unacceptable, mm-hmm. even despite the issue or the consequence.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if you don't apologize, your children may humble you to the point where you... One time my daughter did something wrong, and she said, Mommy, I am so sorry. And that's what she said. And don't worry, I forgive you for getting so angry with me. And it was so sweet and really innocent, but I was like, wow, I must have really gotten angry. So.
Okay. Next week we will be talking about church discipline, which is an even more fun subject. And in many cases, the family control, family discipline is a foundation for that as well. So I'm going to close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for this opportunity to study about family discipline. Pray, Lord, that you would work in each of our hearts, that you would give us a spirit of love for one another, that you enable us to exercise discipline in the church setting in love. And Lord, pray that you would keep us in safety this week. Pray that we would be able to apply your word in our lives. And Lord, pray that you would bring us back next week, that we can continue to study about you. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.